This is the Future of HR podcast, episode 98.
And so the key thing is to know that one, personality only drives performance when it has a fit with the environment around them. And so anyone, any of your listeners that are thinking, okay, how can I start to use personality assessments to improve who I should be hiring, who I should be promoting? It, one, requires a detailed understanding about the job requirements, what's the environment around them. And that environment means culture, the team, the processes, the resources they're going to have access to. And then, of course, what is the ideal profile? But of course, personality is not prophecy. Personality assessment is dealing on probabilities, not prophecies. If you find a candidate that has an amazing track record, but may not necessarily have the right personality profile, it doesn't mean you need to cast them out. It means, okay, what are they doing that they can improve on so they get closer to maybe some of the ideal competencies or behaviors? But also, what can we learn from them? What other attributes do they have that are contributing towards their success?
What is the science behind personality assessments? How can personality assessments improve how you select, onboard, and develop talent in your organization? Hi, I'm your host, JP Elliott, and this is the Future of HR podcast, the only podcast whose mission is to inspire the next generation of HR leaders. On each episode, I interview successful HR executives and thought leaders who are reimagining, rethinking, and leading our field into the future. During our candid conversations, you will learn about their career journeys, their lessons learned along the way, and their insights on how to take our field, and most importantly, your career, to the next level. Hey everyone, as I recently announced, I have created the Next Gen HR Accelerator Program, which is an intensive virtual cohort-based program designed to equip next-gen HR talent with the skills, mindset, and tools they need to become strategic business leaders. Next-gen HR leaders from leading companies like Verizon, Cardinal Health, General Mills, Prudential, and AbbVie have all benefited from this transformative program. And the good news is the next cohort will kick off on September 10th through October 3rd. We're already signing up participants and organizations for this next cohort. And while space is limited and we do expect to sell out, there's still time to get in. If you would like to learn more about how the Next Gen HR Accelerator Program can help you or your HR team elevate their strategic capabilities and business impact, go to futureofhr.com and you can request a brochure be sent to your inbox, or you can email me directly at jp@futureofhr.com. I'd be happy to jump on a call and tell you more about the program and the impacts it can have on your team. With that, let's get to this week's episode with my guests, Reese Akhtar and Yuri Ort. Reese is the CEO and co-founder of Deeper Signals, and Yuri is also a co-founder of Deeper Signals, which is an innovative personality assessment platform. In fact, after I learned about Deeper Signals and their innovative approach, I reached out to Reese and Yuri to have them on the podcast. And it was only after we completed this interview, which was several months ago, that Reese and Yuri asked to sponsor the Future of HR podcast. I'm only giving you this background because I want you to know that while it's great to have sponsors for the podcast, I will only support companies that I truly can get behind and would use myself. And Deeper Signals is one of those companies. In fact, we use their personality assessments in my Next Gen HR Accelerator. So obviously, I'm a big fan of their assessments because they accurately assess personality, motivation, and competencies in just 7 minutes. But don't take my word for it. You can try Deeper Signals Core Drivers Assessment for yourself. You go to deepersignals.com/futurepod. That's /futurepod. And you can take the Core Drivers Assessment for free. I'm excited to have both Reese and Yuri's expertise on the podcast today. In addition to being CEO and co-founder, Reese is also an adjunct instructor at NYU and regularly publishes articles in Forbes and Harvard Business Review, and recently authored The Future of Recruitment, using the new science of talent analytics to get your hiring right. Before co-founding Deeper Signals, he led product innovation at RHR International and Hogan Assessment Systems. Yuri, in addition to being a co-founder, is also an adjunct instructor at NYU and worked at Hogan and S&P Global before starting Deeper Signals. This was an insightful conversation into the science of personality assessments as we discussed how certain personality factors can predict 30 to 40% of the variance in engagement scores, how personality assessments can support onboarding, development, and career progression, My personality assessment should be only one of several data points when you're making critical talent decisions, how generative AI will impact personality assessments in the future, and the four criteria you need to consider when selecting an assessment partner for your organization, and much, much more. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode, so just drop me a line on LinkedIn and say hello. And now let's jump into my interview with Reese and Yuri. Reese, Yuri, welcome to the Future of HR podcast. How are you guys doing?
Hey, JP. Thanks for having us. It's good to be here.
It's exciting to have you both on. Not only have you guys built an incredible company that really has redefining personality assessments, but we're going to go deep on assessments, on personality today. And I think it's going to be a really helpful episode for a lot of people because there's just a lot of mystery sometimes around assessments. So hopefully we can break some of that down. But my first question for both of you is that you guys have worked in and around the science of personality and assessments for most of your career. I'm interested to know, where did you find this passion and how did it become your career? And Reese, let's start with you.
Yeah, this is a really good question. I guess I have to go back to my time machine back when I was doing my PhD. I got hooked on the idea that you can use data to measure or predict behavior. I thought that was such a fascinating idea that you could start to bring some structure and some measurement to the complexity of human nature. That's when I then met Uri and my other co-founders. We were working at some other assessment companies. And this is at the time where the use of machine learning was exploding into the HR tech space. Then it was like, well, how can we start to measure personality and behavior using digital footprints and kind of other aspects of our digital exhaust? And so herein lied kind of this beautiful opportunity where you had this science, this explosion of data, and then an increasingly obvious need to apply these insights at work, giving people more insight into themselves, helping them feel more understood. And that's where the passion came. There's a technology piece and there's an opportunity to really make a significant change to how people live and work.
Yuri, how about you?
Like some of the best things, I kind of fell into it. It wasn't super intentional. So I was working at S&P after I graduated and their engagement program. I got interested in like, what are the different types of people that we'd see more engaged or less engaged in work? Obviously, you have all the typical drivers of engagement in every good engagement program, and you're running regression analysis to try to understand what drives engagement. And at some point, we started asking the question on our team, which is there an engageable personality? Is there someone who is just going to be predisposed towards more engagement or less engagement? And then our co-founder, Tomas, was my professor at Columbia. And so I gave him a call because he's obviously the personality guru. And I asked him what he thought about embedding a really short personality assessment into an engagement survey so we can get a read on the entire company, which is really interesting and not something typically done. Typically, assessments are at the top of the house. And that's kind of how it started.
That's fascinating. And Tomas is awesome. Obviously, been a past guest and a friend for a while. Smart for you to reach out to him. And I think sometimes people be more proactive with professors like that or relationships can lead to some really cool things. I mean, look, a lot of companies have started that way. So yeah, kudos to you for doing that.
I think more people are open to these things and it's easy to maybe be intimidated by our professors and thinkers in the space because they're celebrities. But I think it's pretty collaborative. People are pretty open and always willing to share and talk.
Yeah, but it's pretty true. I'd say like I did not expect Tomas. And I don't know if I've ever told him this now that I've worked with him for almost a decade. I didn't think he was going to respond, really. I shot off an email like, hey, I was like, yeah, probably we'll never get a response. Then the next thing I know, he's like, why don't you come work with me? And let's build this product out.
That's a great response to that email. And so sometimes you got to take that shot. I think that's the right idea.
Absolutely.
Now I want to go back to like, did you actually get personality assessments into the engagement survey? Or do people feel it was too intrusive?
Fascinating. We came really close to doing it at the time. We were working with Hogan. Hogan Assessments was already at S&P. And so we had looked at making their typical assessment much shorter because for anyone who knows engagement surveys, there's a big premium on questions, right? Every department in the organization and every leader needs to have their own questions, is interested in understanding their own things. And so you can't just tack 200 questions onto that. We were like, can we get it down to 20 or 30 questions and still get a fairly valid, reliable read on personality? We came pretty close. That program didn't end up working out, but that was really the seed for what ended up being Deeper Signals, which is, can we have a much shorter, still valid and reliable assessment?
And alongside that, I mean, there's some really interesting research that I also published with Tomas and a few of my colleagues at UCL, which was looking at what are the big five personality traits that predict engagement. And you can see that about 30 to 40% of the variance in engagement can be explained by personality factors. The more agreeable, outgoing, and emotionally stable you are generally correlates to having high levels of engagement at work. Now, this is a super interesting kind of paradox, because then what would happen if you staffed your organization with really outgoing, friendly, cool, calm, and collected people? Okay, they would be engaged, but you probably need actually disengageable people in your business to drive it forward. You need those people that are frustrated with the status quo, that are a little erratic or neurotic and kind of rebellious, to push for change, push for innovation. And so I think it's a perfect example of how personality assessments can be used to improve hiring, but then you also need to go against those findings given kind of the actual objectives that you're trying to achieve. There's always this give and take, I think, when it comes to personality assessments and decision making.
Yeah. But I'd add, Reese, also that we were interested in how we can drive engagement differently across different groups. So it's not only about raising engagement per se and trying to get engageable people, but if you're neurotic and we need to have you in that role, we should probably be seeking interventions that are different for that group of people, or a highly conscientious, diligent, disciplined team of people, maybe our pilots. We want them to be very disciplined, and maybe they're less engageable, but we can drive engagement differently. Whereas what we tend to do in engagement programs is, these are the drivers, people feel like their managers aren't listening to them, or there's no mission or vision in the company, and we just go with a strategy that targets the entire population equally without taking into account individual differences.
And I need to give a PSA here to all our listeners. This will be a very geeky episode. We all have iopsych.
It wasn't already obvious.
Yeah. If it wasn't obvious, there's going to be a little bit of propeller heads going on here. So that really kind of was the seed for Deeper Signals. And talk more about why you guys started it and what you're trying to do with Deeper Signals.
Yeah. So myself, Uri, and two others, Tomas and Dave Rinsborough, we founded really to achieve, I would say, three things. The first was, how can we make the most scientific assessments accessible to everyone in the organization? So before starting Deeper Signals, we were working at other assessment companies that were very premium, very robust, but because of the cost and the length to take those assessments, they pretty much stayed at the top of the organization, leading most of the organization exposed to probably inferior, less scientific assessments or no assessments whatsoever. Creates a whole bunch of inefficiency and ultimately unfairness when it comes to thinking about how to develop, engage, or hire people. So that was the first thing. Scientific assessments available for everyone. The second aspect was really around how assessments are used. Unless you have an executive coach debriefing your assessment results and structuring a development plan for you, it gets actually quite hard to use assessments to actually turn them into actionable insights. So if I know Uri is really outgoing, curious, driven, okay, well, what am I meant to do with that? How can I help him as his manager unlock his potential to get to the next stage in his career? This is where the technology side of it comes in. Can we start to not only raise awareness, but turn awareness into action and use these personality assessments to unlock meaningful change? Can we help people learn new behaviors, help them become better people leaders? Can we give everyone personalized development plans at scale? And then the final bit was just bringing more data to decisions. Again, when we look at how organizations are structuring, say, its talent analytics programs, we know personality is a strong predictor of different work outcomes. But again, the use of those tools, as spotty, is kind of used in different parts of the business, inconsistently. They use different types of tools. So how can we make a tool that will give very accurate data at scale? So wherever you are in your life cycle as an employee, there's going to be some metrics there that we can start to use to think about your progression, your engagement, your succession, and so forth. So it's about data. It's about action, and it's about user experience.
That's great. Well, I know you guys are really trying to democratize, in some ways, personality assessments so they're easier for everybody to understand and use. I think that's so important. Hey, everyone. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. If you are a fan of the future of HR, then you know that I believe the organization with the best talent wins. So how do you ensure that you are selecting and developing the talent that will help your organization to win? The answer lies in using a scientific, data-driven approach to assessing and developing your talent And that's where Deeper Signals comes in. Deeper Signals is a modern scientific assessment platform that is revolutionizing the way organizations measure, manage, and develop their talent. Why am I such a big fan of Deeper Signals? With Deeper Signals, you can accurately assess personality, motivation, and competencies in just 7 minutes. You can generate personalized action plans and development journeys that equip leaders, individuals, and teams with the insights needed to improve onboarding, help them grow, and increase their overall performance. And the best part, Deeper Signals is affordable, user-friendly, and scalable, making it accessible to organizations of all sizes. No wonder over 400,000 people from over 140 countries have completed their assessments, and companies like Caterpillar and S&P Global are loyal customers. But don't just take my word for it. You can try Deeper Signals Core Drivers Assessment for yourself. Go to deepersignals.com/futurepod, that's future P-O-D, and take the Core Drivers Assessment for free. It's normally $65 per assessment, but Deeper Signals has agreed to give Future of HR listeners this limited time opportunity to try the assessment risk-free. So what are you waiting for? Go to deepersignals.com/futurepod, P-O-D, and complete the 7-minute Core Drivers Assessment. I know you'll be impressed with the results. And with Deeper Signals, you'll have the scientific, data-driven approach you need to select, onboard, and develop the talent that'll help your organization to win today and into the future. And it's probably good for us to maybe pause here and say, okay, let's talk about personality assessments in general. And what are the theoretical underpinnings that most personality assessments are based on or built on? So people can walk away today saying, oh, I learned a little bit about this, and then sort of take that mystique off.
When it comes to personality assessments, there's two theoretical camps. There's one camp which says people fall into types. You are an extrovert or you are an introvert. You are an I versus you are a J, to use the MBTI language. This is putting people into categories. The other theoretical camp says we're not so binary. In fact, there are these broad dimensions or continuums where we may fall on. So we're maybe more extroverted or more introverted. We're not either one or the other. Now, when it comes to the scientific study of personality, there is very conclusive evidence to suggest that we're not falling into those types. I think we can all look at the people around us and ourselves to know that we are more complicated and nuanced and messy to be falling into one or two boxes. And in fact, it is this more dimensional approach to thinking about personality is really the scientific consensus, in particular, a framework called the 5-factor model of personality. This framework would suggest that all human personality, so that is the stable or typical ways that we think, feel, and behave, the dispositions behind our behaviors and the tendencies, can be described as being a function of how emotionally stable you are, so neuroticism versus emotional stability, how agreeable you are, so are you someone that is more candid, direct, or are you more considerate and kind of caring, outgoing versus, say, being more reserved, so how sociable you are. There is a drive element to this as well, so how ambitious. And then we have conscientiousness, so you're more detailed orientated versus being more flexible, spontaneous. And then finally, it's around openness to experience. Are you someone that is more curious, interested, open to new ideas, or are you someone that has been more traditional, grounded? So you can use the acronym OCEAN to remember these 5 dimensions. And what we see is when we can study or measure people against these dimensions, we can predict all sorts of outcomes at work, how effective you are going to be as a leader, or your level of entrepreneurial success, or your ability to learn new things or perform in your job. The best assessments take this dimensional approach. The less scientific ones will fall into the types, which may be more intuitive, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be the most useful.
Or anything you'd add there?
Yeah, I think if you zoom out, right, listeners may be thinking, well, I don't necessarily fall into these behavior descriptions all the time. Life is different at work versus at home, right? Let's say I want to change. Let's say I take this assessment and it describes me in a certain way. Am I locked into this? So that's some of the anxiety that people often feel around these assessments. And so I would only add, like, they are approximations, right? Personality assessments are approximations of potential future behavior and their probabilities. They don't get it right every single time. It's still really useful in an HR context if I can say that for most of the population that we assess, this is going to be a good approximation of their the way others will perceive them and their behavior in the workplace. And sure, if you get this result, most executives or seasoned leaders will have spent time with a coach or themselves trying to change some of those behaviors. It may not represent the way they currently behave in the workplace, but it says something about themselves. And the inspiration behind Deeper Signals is like what drives us, right? Our passion is give people a lens with which they can understand their feelings and their behaviors, because it really helps when it comes to changing those behaviors.
Yeah, definitely. This is a lot about self-awareness. You know, you may not be aware that you're being perceived this way or you act this way. So that's really critical. So a lot of times people say, well, like to your point, Uri, is it changing or am I always this way? I took a personality assessment a few years ago. Do I need to take it again? Help us understand a little more about that. It's a continuum, but are we baked or can we really change?
There's a lot of debate around that, JP, but I think the analogy that we like to use is it's like, sure, you can change it, but it may always feel like you're going up a down escalator. So I'm flexible, low conscientiousness, right? That's not detail-oriented. And I can learn from Reese, who's really disciplined and put a lot of behavioral nudges and work and frameworks to my day in place to try to be more disciplined, because I know that that will help me in running my startup. That said, it's not going to become natural to me. And suddenly in 20 years, I'm going to feel that this is the way I act naturally. It's always going to be something I work on.
Yeah, I think with personality change, it's stable. But if we're intentional about it, we can shift the needle. To Uri's point, they may have a resting point that probably feels most comfortable to you. But you can learn new ways of behaving, operating, in the same way that you can learn new habits. It's like going to the gym. Working on a new muscle consistently brings about real change. So if you want to become, say, more diligent, more detail-orientated, and you're coming from a place where you are not those things, well, okay, don't expect big changes. But if you are targeted and you're specific in what you're doing, can change, can bring about differences and improvements. The key thing is just knowing where you are, right? And to your point, JP, this is where self-awareness comes in. You can't change if you don't know your baseline. And so assessments in a developmental context can really give you that, can establish that foundation for you to then think, okay, what do I need to achieve given my career goals or given my leadership goals and so forth?
Yeah, it's really helpful to understand that. And let's talk a little more about predicting performance. So when I think about personality assessments, you know, there's really not a wrong or right personality. If you have a Hogan or maybe Deeper Signals, that is not really right or wrong. It's just what the data says your personality is, your reputation, right, in terms of how people are perceiving you and interacting with you. But predicting success then comes into context. So how much does the context, the role, how do you start to fit those two puzzle pieces together?
Such a fantastic question. The answer is you need to consider both. I think when personality assessments are used in, say, hiring contexts, we can get carried away with over-indexing on them, right? So it's like, you may have a sales role and you know statistically extroverted, confident, agreeable people are better salespeople, right? That can be a statistical fact. However, that doesn't mean someone that is not those things can't be successful. And so the key thing is to know that one, personality only drives performance when it has a fit with the environment around them. And so anyone, any of your listeners that are thinking, okay, how can I start to use personality assessments to improve who I should be hiring, who I should be promoting? It one requires a detailed understanding about the job requirements, what's the environment around them. And that environment means the culture, the team, the processes, the resources they're going to have access to. And then, of course, what is the ideal profile? But of course, personality is not prophecy. Personality assessment is dealing on probabilities, not prophecies. If you find a candidate that has an amazing track record, but may not necessarily have the right personality profile, it doesn't mean you need to cast them out. It means, okay, what are they doing that they can improve on so they get closer to maybe some of the ideal competencies or behaviors? But also, what can we learn from them? What other attributes do they have that are contributing towards their success? Right? There isn't a one-size-fits-all approach.
I think it's such a great point. I love that personality, not prophecies. It's also, I think it's an onus back on the HR professional, the talent professional, to understand what the role really requires. And a lot of times we don't do enough time thinking about that. And then we're looking at the assessment, the personality, and we're making judgments, but we haven't really laid out like what's really critical in this role. Is this a sales-driven role? Is it relationship? Or is there something else that's more critical? And that's why this person's been successful. So I think that's the part that is HR leaders, you've got to spend more time on what is the role required and then match that with the personality assessments.
Thinking towards the future, that challenge is only getting harder because we have a flood of resumes and job applicants. You have new tools that are leveling the playing field where candidates can now create one resume and the AI will disseminate their resume and apply to 1,000 roles. And so on the HR side, how are we going to filter and differentiate between this flood of resumes? It's really easy to just choose a personality profile, create some requirements. But if that's not validated and done correctly, then you may be introducing a whole bunch of false negatives.
Let's talk about that false negative idea. So what should organizations be using personality assessments for, and what should they not be using them for?
Before you're even starting to use personality assessments, to your point, JP, you need to have a clear understanding around what the job requires. And that also means, do you have good performance metrics? Can you actually measure performance in a role? For assessments to be legally defensible, so this is going to be mandated by the EEOC here in the US, is that you need to be able to demonstrate that any assessment you're using, whether it's personality or otherwise, actually correlates and predicts on the job performance. So that's the first thing, is actually getting clear on what performance looks like. Then you can start to work backwards. I think you should be using personality assessments in your hiring practice because it's a way of understanding candidates in a standardized way. That can cut through a lot of bias. It helps everyone feel understood, and it helps hiring managers really understand the candidate and what they can bring to a role. I think assessments should be used for development context as well. No matter if you're a leader or an early career professional, using assessments to help individuals identify things they can improve on, to a point earlier, gives you self-awareness, can then direct the next steps. And it should be used around succession. How is this leader's personality going to cascade downwards and impact the culture around them? Or I think this is a really important thing to consider. I think personality assessments shouldn't be used as the sole decision point. They should be one data point of many that's considered. It's a way of maybe challenging your assumptions about an employee or a candidate. But I never think they should be considered in isolation, right? I think that's where they start to become misused. They become over-indexed. And that's where a lot of problems can start to happen.
Risa, I guess the only point we have to consider is when you have top of the funnel assessment, you're not necessarily given that luxury as compared to giving an assessment to a senior executive hire where you're trying to decide between 5 or 10 candidates. There you can look at the assessment. You can ask the candidate questions about their personality, how they think it impacts the role, have they worked on it in the past, and so on. When you're top of funnel and you're trying to filter through tens of thousands of incoming resumes, you may have a profile that you think, you know, and you may be saying, you know, granted, I might have false negatives here, but if I can put together a candidate pool that overall is more extroverted and driven for my sales roles, I'm going to have more or better candidates to choose from. And as long as it's equal, it'll still be EEOC compliant, right? Because you're not discriminating against any protected group.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a great point. When you're talking about kind of high volume hiring, what I've done in my past life, right? Obviously, you've done a job analysis. You understand what the performance metrics look like and indicators. You validate that, do adverse impact. And then, okay, now the tool's live. But then where I think you have to think about what's the cutoff point? And it's sort of like the dialing up the temperature and how high do you want to be or how low? And I mean, when I was running talent for Dick's Sporting Goods, we had some markets where the cutoff point was not getting us candidates. And so you had to start to say, gosh, okay, is this too high? I need to lower this down a little bit because the candidate pool wasn't matching that. So I think you're right. It's really unique. But that typically that cutoff is really saying, gosh, we just don't think you'll be a fit at all based on the research and our science. And then you have the kind of, again, the continuum, right? We think you're good enough to come in, get to know you. And that's where probably some of it isn't a perfect personality fit, but you meet them and they're successful for other reasons. And that's what you want to have that face-to-face interaction or other selection.
Exactly.
1,000%. Yes. And that's where we think like our vision is, we haven't rolled out all these features yet, but our vision is like, if you start at the candidate side, you hire them, then use the assessment for onboarding. And this is not done nearly enough. We put a candidate through the pains of taking an assessment. We use their scores to opine on their hiring decision. And then, you know, welcome to the organization and we have an LMS system for you. Why not use that insight, the risks that we flagged while hiring them, to drive their 90-day onboarding plan, right? We thought you were great, but we were worried about this part of your personality. We'll work on this. Here's a good course for you. And then push that through the employee lifecycle.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And honestly, I think only the best organizations are really doing a good job of that. I think most organizations are like, hey, you're here, great. And then they move on. It's sort of like jumping the deep end, hopefully you survive. Yeah. And we're not thinking about that. Now, for executive level, it's a different story because there's a lot of investment there and people might be thinking much more, I need an onboarding plan and we really want to be thoughtful about it. But for frontline workers, I think there's a big opportunity for that. Now, look, we're 20 some minutes into the podcast. We haven't talked about generative AI. So I think that's great for us because I feel like that, I thought it would come up right away. But how do you see generative AI impacting personality assessments and development in general the next few years?
Yes. Good question everyone's asking. When we think about the assessment experience, there's two parts to it. There is the assessment itself, the questions, the scoring, the measuring, and then there is the feedback results, the insights that come off of it. When it comes to AI, I think there are implications on making assessments shorter, faster, more accurate. And this is whereby we can start to use AI to process more data faster and in more sophisticated ways than the traditional approach, which is looking at your responses, totaling them, comparing them to a normative group. This is what we do at Deeper Signals. We use machine learning to optimize for the number of questions or maximizing the validity and reliability. That doesn't necessarily need generative AI. It can use a whole bunch of other types of AI algorithms. Now, where Gen AI comes in, I think, is actually on what's next side of things, right? So it's, you've taken the assessment. Now, can we use Gen AI to unlock insight, whether you're an individual, a manager, or a senior leader? Can we use Gen AI to start to create custom development plans? Can we use it to create more personalized or more targeted, say, interview questions? If I'm someone's manager, if I'm a team leader, can I use Gen AI to create a playbook? Can I say, okay, my team can't get on the same page. Here's all their personality scores. Tell me what I need to do. And then you can tap into the infinite wisdom that is the internet to now provide me with some evidence-based strategies. That's something that we're building at Deeper Signals at the moment. But you can start to see how these types of technologies create an interface to unlock the value of the assessment data.
The other thing that I think of, JP, which is the other side, which is maybe not HR related, but I hope to see the reverse. We'd hope to see Gen AI start personalizing itself. If it knows your personality, why should me and Reese have the same ChatGPT? Reese has a very different personality than I do. So we can start seeing personality scores allow AI chat bots or whatever they'll be called in the future, agents, to personalize themselves to be more unique for those who they're helping or serving or whatever the dystopian future ends up looking like.
It sort of sounds like you're saying we're going to be coached by ourselves a little bit, like you've got the AI coach. That could be very bad. It'd be like, well, you're great. Don't worry about details. You're fine, Gary. And I think those personas are being built. I was just recently at the I4CP conference and somebody showed how they built a persona themselves, leveraging writing they've done, et cetera. So I think the future is really hard to predict here. But what I think you're bringing up is two things, just to make sure people are clear. You're using machine learning today to streamline the test-taking process, ensure the assessments are valid. That makes a lot of sense. And machine learning's been around for a while. Generative AI is really about prediction and creativity and being able to respond in ways that we may not have ever expected. I think that's kind of the coaching process and that targeted development plan or novel instances like, oh, here's all of our team's personality assessment, design a workshop for us or that will be really effective, or a team builder that we haven't thought about, right? There's just so many options that generative AI can do for us. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
How you guys are thinking
about
that's
it? Exactly.
I think so.
That's exactly. Yeah.
Fundamentally, like a lot of this information is on the internet. What Gen AI does so well is turn all of that information into something concise and descriptive, right? And so you can get a lot of that feedback and you get it in an elegant fashion, then it's super useful. I guess if I'm thinking about the future, we'd want to warn people about is there will be many tools that'll make the opposite claim, right? We can use Gen AI to predict your personality, to come up with scores. Here is, and that black box model towards predicting performance in organization is not new, technically. We've seen it with video interviews that kind of made to 2015, made their big waves, and that kind of fizzled out because you can't explain it. It's always going to be questionable, both legally and also from getting user buy-in and not coming across as really creepy. So I think we will see those tools come up over the next couple of years. And as HR practitioners, we have to be really wary of what's driving them and whether they're valid, reliable, and good tools to use in our organization.
Yeah. I think the key thing is not to throw out the decades of science that we've amassed just because there is a new shiny thing. I thought HR moves pretty slow. We probably don't need any innovation and just spend the next 10 years implementing the things I've already known for the last 50 years and still make great headroads. Some warnings there.
Let's talk about what's your advice for HR leaders who are thinking about using personality assessments in the organization, maybe even for the first time? Like, how do you evaluate the different partners and vendors? How do they start using assessments? Where should they go first? Selection, development, team effectiveness? Help take us through how you'd start up if you are new to assessments.
The first thing is to identify, what are you trying to achieve? What's the end business goal? Is it more engagement? Is it increased sales performance? Is it something else? Get really clear around that and have clear definition of success and try to put some measures around it. The next thing is like going to step back and thinking like, well, what do I need to assess for? Is it culture fit, which would be more values? Is it personality, because I need someone to have the right certain behaviors? If so, what are those behaviors? Once you've got that in mind, you'll have a persona that you need to look for, that you've done the job analysis against. And now you're at the point where you can start comparing vendors. When we think about choosing assessment providers, I would say there's four things you need to consider. The first is the science. So what evidence can the vendor provide that their assessments are both valid? So that is, how well does it predict on the job performance that's relevant to you? And then how reliable that is. Does someone get consistent results on this assessment across different points in time? And all good assessment providers should be able to provide that information in the form of their technical manual. And that will also then demonstrate, or can they demonstrate, the fact that their assessments are fair? Is it going to have an adverse impact? Is it going to disproportionately impact protected groups? If the assessment you're going to use can meet those three things, then that's kind of the first box cleared. The second thing is that user experience. Do you want to provide someone with an assessment that's going to take 30, 40 minutes? Do they have the time, the energy to do that? Or do you need to go for something that's shorter, faster, and more engaging? And there's going to be a trade-off here. The longer assessments generally are more accurate. The shorter ones may sacrifice some of that. And again, depending on the use case, you're going to have to make a decision then. The final thing is really around the insights and the quality of the insights that those assessments are going to produce. Do you have people in-house that are trained up and ready to start interpreting, delivering feedback? Or do you need more tech-enabled off-the-shelf solutions that can debrief people for you or give hiring managers all the questions and insights that they need? So it's about science, it's about accuracy, and it's about user experience. Uri, anything you'd add to that list?
Super exhaustive. I'd just say, to your question, JP, like, no one should want to implement a personality assessments program in their company. Like, that should never be your end goal. No one wants, your employees don't want to take an assessment. Your leaders, no, they're not enjoyable. The question is, what is the goal? And once you have that, once you understand that, are you trying to increase self-awareness, to reset performance, engagement, development? Those are your goals. And then back into, okay, how are we going to achieve them? One tool will be an assessment program.
Oh, so well said. Very helpful. Thank you guys for going in detail on that. Last question for you both. What is one word or phrase you believe will define the future of HR over the next 5 to 10 years?
Good question. I would say it's uniquely human when we are going to have more AI and automation in the workplace, which is pretty much a given, I would say, at this point. Our soft skills, or AKA our personality, is going to matter more. It's going to be one of the defining qualities of what it means to be a successful professional. And so when every organization has AI, the quality of its people is going to be the key differentiator. So there's cause to be optimistic about the future.
The cynical part of me needs to say it's going to stay the same in 5 to 10 years. Not much is going to change at the pace of HR. But maybe the less cynical part would say we're going to see a user experience and user-centric, more user-centric HR, employee-centric HR. We're going to see a trend towards making experiences, employment experiences, more focused on employees and their journey through the organization.
Brilliant. Reese, Yuri, this was a great episode. Thank you guys for doing a masterclass on personality assessments. Really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Future of HR Podcast. Thanks again to Reese and Yuri for sharing their expertise and knowledge on personality assessments. And as always, you can go to futureofhr.com to view all of our past episodes and learn more about our mission to inspire the next generation of HR leaders. And if you enjoyed this episode of Future of HR, be sure to subscribe, share a podcast with at least one other person, or even better, leave a review on Apple or Spotify podcasts. This really helps us to grow the podcast and helps with our mission of inspiring the next generation of HR leaders. We'll be back next week with Peter Capelli, who is a George W. Taylor Professor of Management at the Wharton School and Director of Wharton Center for Human Resources. He was recently named by HR Magazine as one of the top five most influential management thinkers, by NPR as one of the 50 influencers in the field of aging, and was elected a fellow of the National Academy of Human Resources. In my conversation with Peter, we're going to discuss his latest book, Our Least Important Asset, Why the Relentless Focus on Finance and Accounting is Bad for Business and Employees. This was an insightful conversation with one of the brightest minds in our field, and one that you will not want to miss. Thanks again for listening to Future of HR and being part of our community.